Economic Development Commission to order. It is 6:02 p.m. I'll call the roll. Member Lowe's. Member Walfelt. Here. Member Graham. Member Chaplunkar. Member Brangle.
Here on Zoom.
Thanks, Tim. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Great. And then Member Preston.
Present.
And Chairman Brown.
Present. Four presents and three here's for the record. Just step aside.
And then next item is the approval of the July minutes. Are there any comments or changes requested for the minutes? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion passes.
Before we get on to the next comment here, I just wanted to say it's a public comment, but I just wanted to say something. Last month, for any interested parties or just have it on public record, last month we did not have a quorum, and that happens. Look, we're all volunteers here right now. I should be coaching soccer down the street. I have a practice going on, or prepping for a meeting I have tomorrow, or leaving town. We all have things going on. That's okay. This happens. We've made a commitment to be here. But sometimes life happens and we cannot be here. We're all volunteers. We try our best to do so. If for some reason a quorum does not take place, it's just because life happened and we weren't able to get here. So we all do our best to get here, and it's really appreciated. Again, we're volunteers, and I'll say it again, we're just doing our best to get here when we can. So some of us couldn't make it last month. It happens. That's really all I wanted to say about that, but in case anyone was wondering. Okay.
All right.
Number two, any public comment?
No one else is on.
Okay. And could be a quick one here. Number four. I jinxed it right there. I did.
Number four, we have kind of a broad title here, discussion regarding TIF small business incentive programs. Staff was talking recently, thinking about the TIF districts. A lot of the focus has been for the past several years in assembling properties and marketing for development, and that continues to, proceed with its challenges. But we also wanted to think of ways to potentially assist the businesses or buildings that are there currently to try and facilitate more business activity. One of the goals in the redevelopment plan for the TIF district when it was adopted included that as a goal, as part of the plan, to try and improve what is out there to, avoid vacant spaces or improve the spaces that are there. And I think we've talked about a lot of this commission in the past about retention and attraction. And it's not just limited to those larger parcels or the vacant parcels. So we wanted to kind of kick off a little bit of a discussion around an incentive program for River Forest, for the TIF districts. Now, there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different examples out there on how these programs can work. The most typical that you see out there is, a facade improvement program, usually 50-50 split is commonly seen. That's kind of what Forest Park used when they were redoing their main street on Madison Street back about 20 years ago. It's usually an easier sell or easier benefit to kind of improve the street view of businesses. So a lot of villages like to focus on those types of improvements, whether it's signs or facade or any kind of landscaping or things out there, because it's tangible. It's visible for residents and visitors to the businesses. There's also other more subtle but equally important things. Some buildings may not be up to code, may not have the proper fire suppression systems for modern standards. So which may be preventing landlords or property owners from filling their spaces. That's not visible to the eye, and people might just be frustrated by seeing vacant storefronts, but there's often reasons why those things might be happening. So Jessica had kind of started doing some research on comparable or example programs that were out there. We kind of have a blank slate But I think what staff would like to do is kind of work with the EDC to formulate a program to, you know, present and be adopted by the village board. So determining what the criteria may be, what the goals are. I think I kind of stated what the broad goals are in trying to fill any vacant spaces and also improve the businesses, whether it's renovation or expansion when possible. I know we're, you know, we've got challenges on the number of storefronts that are even available on these corridors, but they are there and we want to make sure they're used to their full potential. There's also, you know, options. Is it what businesses are eligible? Is it just businesses that generate sales tax? That's some way that places view it to avoid a lot of the service. We have a lot of dental and medical uses. So it's kind of up to us to determine what direction we want to go. So I know this is kind of a preliminary introduction. We don't have a lot of data research to kind of direct the conversation at this point, but we wanted to at least introduce the idea and get initial feedback or questions and things that we can do some more research and have a better package to bring back to the EDC going forward so that we can get work toward an actual proposal for a program.
You know, when I think about some of the things that we've discussed in the past, when you were sitting there with John House Sailor talking about zoning, I know what we really, I think in my mind, anyway, we're thinking about was the redevelopment of these buildings, dab, height, you know. If that looks like it's really not as likely, I don't know that we sort of thought, okay, well, what are the second generation opportunities for some of those spaces? I look at, you know, you look at Forest Park, I'm sorry, Elmwood Park, where they've got that sort of restaurant row. I don't know if that was organic or if they really did an incentive to try to create that, or if it was also as much a function of what spaces were there. But I'm wondering if from sort of how SEALs work, if we have like on North Avenue or on Madison Street, some details on the vacancies that exist there today that we could look at as a committee and say, boy, that could be second generation this or that, or, you know, it's, or are we sort of like, these are all dentist offices, right? Or are there restaurant opportunities or, you know, so I, even though I live pretty darn close to it, even off the top of my head, I can't think of those spaces one by one to know, you know, what I would think some of the opportunities.
Right.
What is that one Italian deli? I think we did like some of this research. Yeah. We did some of this research a little bit. I think we were trying to get the vacancies. It wasn't as easy as a.
Yes, I know. And I'm sorry, I don't have it. Jessica did work with our department to determine what the obvious vacancies were that we have just based on our yearly inspections. So we do have that list somewhere and can share that with the commission to see what, where we're kind of starting from for those unused. The Capri one comes to mind, where there used to be the game shop that is next to where the Ice Baby ice cream shop is there. But you're right. Unless you're walking slowly down the street, it's easy to miss.
Yeah, I mean, I started Prairie Brick Kitchen in Oak Park, and at the time that we did that, a long time ago, but there was a program that set a perfect place, and they did pay us or share the cost of both facade renovation and signage. It was, you know, not, but the space, that incentive helped help us make that decision towards moving towards a space that we knew we could use as restaurant space. But, you know, I don't know if here, again, if it's dental or something else, what the right incentive would be.
Right. And I should mention Hub Kitchen, the like test kitchen that was over on Ashland, just recently moved into the old La Perrita space over at North and Harlem. And they just opened, and some of their questions about improving the space, they're looking to do, you know, special nights where their businesses can promote pickup delivery for residents and try and get a customer base for these bakers and chefs to ideally, hopefully fill another space in River Forest, right? So it's kind of a incubator for those types of businesses. Daily Bagel came from Hub Kitchen, but that space has seen better days. And the parking lot is in rough shape. They made some improvements to the outside, painting it, fixing some of the signage. But the Olsons that are operating Hub Kitchen were inquiring whether there was anything, any village assistance that could come of it. We had already been talking about it a little bit, but that was another example of a business that was in River Forest filling a vacant space on North Avenue. And to beautify it or make it more accessible or anything like that, that's an example that might come sooner rather than later.
What? Go ahead.
Just while we're talking about North Ave, I remember there was a grant in partnership with Elmwood Park that was supposed to be something related to the beautification of
yeah.
the strip. Is that still?
Yes, it is active, and there's a bit of a long lead. So the phase one engineering of that is been mostly completed. What the challenge we're facing right now is trying to get there's grant funding out there from the state that has not been released yet, which is really the important part where the money actually becomes tangible for us to use. We have been lobbying to try and get that money released so that we can actually execute the improvements. So we're working that angle. So part of the beautification of that will be part of that, you know, the parkway and along the road in the corners mostly. So yes, that is still the intention to move that forward. It's been challenging working with the state on it. We had a meeting with the director of IDOT a couple weeks ago and Representative Lilly to try and get that freed up. And the good news is that it's been included in the budget for a couple of years. So there is support for the project to happen. It's the money is out there from First Avenue to Cicero Avenue. And we're just, you know, focused on trying to get our portion. We're further along than the other municipalities that are there. And we're trying to make that point so that we can get the money first. So that, is definitely still on the radar. It's just taking a little bit longer than hoping.
The village, an acquisition of any property in the TIP area, part of the acquisition contract was to relocate existing property, existing business, either in the village, elsewhere, or out of the village. Can you use some TIP money for the relocation?
Yes, that would be an eligible cost. I think in this case, we're thinking more of improving the spaces that are there rather than a relocation to assemble. But yes, relocation would be an eligible.
Money sitting there that became part of the package deal could do it.
Correct. Yeah, relocation costs could be an eligible TIF expense. Yep.
Well, I think we need to know more of the details and some of the financials, exactly who would be eligible. I do think personally, you'd probably want to have it be tax paying entities. You know, we could look at some of the other qualifiers that other communities are doing. It does seem to me to be a win-win if it was something that the money's there and if it could beautify the area at the same time, either creating a situation where a tenant's going to stay longer, you know, in a property, or they would be able to, I don't know if it's owner occupied or being leased. I mean, we'd have to understand some of this stuff, but the idea that they'd, you know, maybe involved with some long-term lease, they would do some facade work and it might attract, new and different, entities for coming into River Forest. I think it's what we're here to do. It's what the TIF money's there to do. And to a degree, and it helps beautify the community. So it seems to me like, you know, if the financials make sense, you know, and that we'd have to put qualify, you know, how much per year, you know, that we want to put how many different projects. We're probably not going to have that many. And now thinking about the vacancies, I mean, we could go up and down the TIF. The TIF is always certain areas. This wouldn't be for everywhere. Certainly a good place to start. I mean, to me, I don't know if we're looking for, well, we could have more discussion, but, you know, what would you be looking for at this point from the EDC?
At this point, I think these first questions are very helpful. I think we staff has a lot of work to do on kind of formulating what these options and comparisons are. What is eligible in terms of the business? What is eligible in terms of what the improvements are? The financial on how many projects or what the amount would be per year is another question. And then also you mentioned in terms of the length of time, you know, there's some risk involved if the, you know, there's an agreement for a sign or a facade improvement and then the business doesn't work out, then the village, you know, is out that money. So there's some risk there, but that's just something that needs to be weighed because it might be the difference in keeping a business there longer too. So
I think of that, the space that was mentioned, the Capri Deli, space adjacent to it, it's been vacant forever, right? If even if it was a signage grant or a tenant improvement grant for someone's, you know, book to sign that three-year term or whatever, that'd be money. Yeah. You get that money back, right?
In lieu of tenant TI and stuff right. like and that, which no one has money for.
A little momentum. And with Pup Kitchen actually taking that space, did they didn't come to us before they signed their lease. Right.
No.
I was just going to say, I think any of these incentives are, they're good to make them available for both new, and, you know, bringing in new, but also getting the commitment out of someone who's already there. If they just signed a lease. I don't know what we could ask in return for us sharing costs of, you know, sharing the parking lot and doing some facade work. It's not attractive. Right? It's surprised they opened it like it does. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a direct advantage for the village in that situation because it's you know the money's already it's already happening outside of the fact that we want them to succeed in a nice facade and a beautification of the area. I mean it's more less tangible.
Yeah.
But I still think it probably makes sense.
It
maybe
anything to beautify
totally. And maybe there's different qualify. You know, there's a lot of different ways you could sort of hammer this out, and there'd probably have to be some sort. I know in other villages and with the city, I've been a part of this something similar before. There's a committee involved on things of that nature. I mean, it wouldn't take much, but you'd have to read the grants and have an understanding of the program. So there, I don't know exactly where that would fall within the village, but there's a lot more to be fleshed out for sure.
Yeah, I think as you're pulling together the information a little bit more, it's just good to kind of get lessons learned, what worked, what hasn't, case studies.
Yep.
Just we have that.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, probably a good idea to reach out to Morton Grove, Elmhurst, Forest Park, if that hasn't. Yeah.
Right, because some of the programs were just for a certain amount of years, or they ran out of money or just wasn't finding it successful. So, yeah, I think we can definitely pull that together.
Any sort of for lack of a better word, negative thoughts or concerns, maybe outside the financial, which is one that pops up to me.
Part of it is just making sure that there's the landowner or the building owner participation at some level so that it's not just, I mean, I guess maybe there's tiers of when it's just free money versus money that you are also going to participate in.
Yeah.
Your property look better because that's what you should be doing as a landowner.
Yeah, and it's curious because usually the landowner is the one that requests the grant. My understanding, though, it probably could be both. I mean,
we got both. In Oak Park, it was a sort of mutual approach, and the village gave so much in funds that the building owner had to spend on the facade, and then we got a grant for signage that
okay.
we installed.
I think it sounds this is great. I mean, it's a not new, but it's a creative way to kind of help with our cause. So, glad someone came up with it.
It's
Sorry. Anyways.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think we've got our homework to do, and I think we'll have an outline of what questions and direction we'll look for from the group at the next meeting.
Yeah, sounds good. Maybe if you can dig up, because it'd be helpful for this group to be able to actually discuss some tangible things. Here's four options. Let's look at them and say four addresses. Are there anything specific to these where just help us guide you? So.
Yeah, like the safety thing you were mentioning, it could be that some of those properties, there's probably something wrong with that building at Capri, other than a landlord just not caring.
Or charging too much. Yeah, I don't know.
Charging too much.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I mean.
Luke, what were those numbers for the businesses that you?
Okay, so along Madison Street, we have registered around 16 business licenses in Madison Street District. For North Avenue, we have around 60 buildings. I also don't know how many, I guess, without blue maps, businesses would be in. For Madison, it is also right around 16. And then for
Pittsburgh. That's good, though. That's a good starting point. So, a manageable task, though, right? Sort of identifying.
Yeah, it's a pretty limited pool. Yeah. And then we just have to cross-reference that with some of the vacant information we have or we'll get just by going out there and figuring out what.
Yeah, this is one of those boots on the ground situation, right? Like, yeah, just need to. Yeah. That's great, though. That's real. I mean, I love stuff like that. It seems, especially if the money's available. Okay. Anything else on number four? Yeah, thanks, Ed. So we'll just look to hear back with some more, drill it down a little bit, see what we come up with. Number five, similar subject. We met with, who was it? I think it was just Jessica and myself and the Park District and Darian, the superstar that he is, and his assistant. I want to put it on record. Marion's been great since he's come over. He's the president of the OPRF Chamber. We met with the Park District, Mike and his group, to talk about the idea that we had circulated a couple months ago about having a parade. They have a business sort of, what would you call that?
Fair.
A business fair? Yeah, for lack of a... No, that's the right word. At the end of the parade, right there on Keystone. So, after the Memorial Day parade, that's the time when we have more people together at any other time in the village. It's run by essentially the Park District, but the Shriners also do the hot dogs, and the village puts in money and some support as well with the police support and things of that nature. So anyways, we talked to them. They're on board. We're still working out some of the details. Marion, I'm sure, is working on it. It's pretty much going to be run by the chamber. We're still trying to figure out exactly who's going to be involved, who would be involved. The idea is, so you get done with the parade on Keystone off Lake, we'd have some food truck. Right now we got hot dogs, which, God bless, but it's not keeping people there. We've used to have a little bit more back in the day. But the idea would be is that we'd have a couple food trucks either right there or on Central. Then we'd have booths on both sides of the streets. People could come. Most likely the people involved, they'd have to be a part of the parade as well. So we have a ton of businesses that are already there. The idea was floated that either we were thinking about just doing veteran-owned businesses, but I don't know how big of a pool that would be. So the idea would be, maybe they'd get a highlight spot. As it is Memorial Day Parade, and that's one of the areas that the chamber has actually been looking to highlight veteran-owned businesses. So it works out great there. Again, they have a lot of different business fairs that they put on for the chamber. This would be the first time they're doing one in River Forest. They're supposed to do four. It works out perfectly. They're supposed to do four a year. They're doing three currently, so they have space for one. So everything does seem to be aligning pretty well. Again, we wouldn't be asked to do too much. They would run it. You know, maybe we'd go there and volunteer and things like that. Anyways. Yep. So it would. We haven't figured out the exact details. If it would be something that they would be, the chamber would be reaching out, because they have a wide audience, obviously. And in fact, it will be the chamber, but who is going to be involved, we're still figuring out. But we do know, after talking with Mike from the park district, that you know, they would have to be a part of the parade, which would be, you know, would make sense.
Just so you know, since I spent 20 years with that wonderful parade,
yeah,
you won't get food trucks if you're giving out free hot dogs. They won't come. Period.
Well, they're not going to be.
And I can also, them. And I, in,
I disagree.
And the park district is not thrilled with they. I think they would prefer food trucks.
Yeah,
like you've got the Kiwanis and some other people who are very deeply motivated and continuing the tradition of free hot dogs and soft drinks.
Yeah.
So if you get past that little food issue, I know it sounds kind of trivial, but that's just, they will not come. Food trucks will not show if they know there's free food.
Elsewhere. Oh, do you think the food trucks wouldn't come?
Guaranteed.
Oh, no, they already got it set up. Marion's already got it, like, working on them. So,
well, then the park district and Kiwanis have to deal with the free food.
I hear your point. I think that's, we'll see. We talked with Mike. I mean, if all they're doing is giving out free hot dogs, how much of a, what are we talking about? I mean, but I don't know.
I think it's
Mike is very much in tune with
the
atmosphere about food trucks. They're deeply in favor of food trucks.
Yeah, they had the food truck rally just 2 weeks ago, right? And Marion has, I mean, they that was a large part of the discussion. I think they'll be able to work something out. So we'll see, but, neither of them seemed concerned, about the ability to get. Mike brought up that if you're going to do food trucks, you got to do them now because they get booked up and things of this nature. Marion said that there's about 10 different food trucks who have been asking for different events to be utilized in, so that he was using them at some of the different job fairs, that he could just bring them there. He didn't think it would be an issue. But we'll see. I mean, there's still some details, no doubt, to be filled out. And that's definitely one of them. Any other feedback or thoughts on it? Yeah.
Good suggestion.
Can't hurt. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Totally. I'm in it every year.
Yeah.
That's 100th year, too.
What's that?
It'll be the 100th year.
Is that right? It's pretty cool. That's a good.
So I recall previous, I thought it was anniversary parade. It's one of the bigger ones. Stood out. Is there plans for that? And is the village?
They're going to have a job fair.
Park
district, the village, and Kiwanis are the three main sponsors. And
mainly the district, park district.
So the 100th year will be this 25th.
Correct.
That's cool. It's a good time. It just seems it seems to all sort of make sense. You know, when we were kind of talking it over, and the park district seemed on board more, you know, they're like, yeah, great, you know. Certainly some details to figure out, though. Other than that, that's really the main thing in terms of, like, small businesses, that and the TIF. So I'm glad we're two big things, actually. It's good. We've been a little, it's been difficult to make movement in that area. So, we can only do our best. You know, these seem to be good attempts at doing just that. Any other thing on number 5? Okay. Number 6. I'll defer to you for the updates.
Sure. North Avenue, we kind of spoke to it. Most of the effort there has been on trying to get the grant funding secured for the streetscape improvements there. So I'll keep the commission updated on that. There's been a lot of conversations with the IDOT as well as the state legislature to kind of help us out. IDOT has a separate plan or project planned for North Avenue because it'll be due for resurfacing in the next year or two. So, yes,
that'll be awesome.
Our hope, and what we're trying to impress on everybody is we can't have a resurfacing project and then a streetscape project just a year after it. For the reaction you just had, it's a nightmare for everybody. And it makes it look like we are wasting money, which is very possible that it would be. So we're trying to use that as a motivator to pair the projects together so that it's all done in once. It needs resurfacing. It has been graded poorly by IDOT. Perfect opportunity to do this larger project, and then we're all good for 15, 20 years, whenever the project would go. So that is what we are trying to do because we're concerned about the traffic impact, of course, and also business impact if there's multiple construction seasons involved. So that is very much the motivating factor for us right now.
Can I just make a quick interjection? Not anything to do with the EDC, but as a resident, when they do the North Avenue overhaul, we got to do something with the police or other people or some, making sure that, because North Avenue flies. And they're going to try to take Augusta and Chicago when they're commuting through here. So just for the – I mean, this is more safety and stuff like that with the village, but we need to make sure we're doing something so that people aren't flying through River Forest. And we got kids going to school right there on Roosevelt. Anyways.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, that's already been a hot topic and concern for folks trying to use shortcuts to be off North Avenue, but it'll be even worse then. So. Yeah. Yeah, it will be
awesome.
The whole thing, right?
Yeah, good stuff to look forward to.
Madison Street and North Avenue, I guess, Wally kind of referenced the zoning. I know Jessica has probably provided the updates on what happened with the Village Board's decision to not proceed at this time with the text amendment. No real news on that front. There's no intention to revisit a larger text amendment at this time. I think the Village Board wants to take a step back and kind of get a more understanding of what the concerns and ideas are from the residents before any text amendment would come forward, and there's no plans to do so. We'll use what we have in the plan development process if there are proposals for any project sites. What we are working on currently, we're calling them neighborhood dialogues, is trying to go out to the community to hear kind of effectively focus groups, which we tried in here with the EDC for the zoning early on, but trying to meet people where they are, specifically on the south end near the Madison Street project site, to not only get an understanding of those concerns, also get some ideas for what would be palatable or what people would like to see at that site, and also just a more direct conversation or kind of hearing it from the village on what protections are in place, what the approval process are. We know that there was a lot of exaggeration and maybe misinformation that was out there. So trying to have more manageable, smaller conversations and get some feedback before any larger discussions. Again, kind of taking a step back and starting that process over again. I know this group worked very hard on that and for some time working with John Housiel on what we think was a good proposal, but there were a lot of concerns out there, and I think that the Village Board recognized that and didn't want to ignore that, and also recognized that there are mechanisms in our code to allow for projects to come forward if the board believes they're right. Plan development, as we've talked about, variations have been approved in the past, and if the project is right, then I think the Village Board would be willing to approve or at least consider those.
So the issue is, from our standpoint, as I see it, we've been talking with brokers to represent the village and different properties. And clear across the board, the brokers have said, you know, it would really help to have a defined understanding of what can and can't be built. And we all know this. That's the reason that we thought that, you know, the idea that we have zoning in place that on every different development there's variations on, so we can't really go to brokers and say, look, here's our zoning, but there's variations are possible. So based on what the zoning currently allows for, in order to build something there, it would be bricks and not much else. There wouldn't be a lot of beauty there unless they could figure something out. And I hope they can. So it just does seem a little ironic to me that, you know, I understand some of the complaints. I fully understand a lot of the complaints and whatnot. I think there needs to be some change there. But what could end up happening is, because of this, we're not going to get a nice development on the properties, and some of the people who are in the area might suffer accordingly. So it's unfortunate. I understand where people are coming from, but it has been pretty clear from everyone we've talked to is anyone who's going to want to buy the or have interest in any locations that the village has would want to know exactly what could be built there. I apologize for the diatribe. In the past, there's been issues with different developers because they knew what could get done in the village because they had understanding of this village. Take that as you will. And so those are the developers that we've been left with. Those are not the developers we want for the future. We're looking for people who are doing nationwide deals, who are doing deals locally. We're looking for any kind of professional developers. Those types of developers need to know exactly what the zoning is. So it's going to be a real difficulty to get the right developer in here to make whatever it's going to be and wherever it's going to be coincide not only with our zoning, current zoning, but also with what people want in those spaces. So it is what it is. It's an unfortunate situation that we can't come to some agreement because it's just, I think it's going to cause a negative effect on what kind of development we'd be able to have. And that's not saying, you know, I'm not talking about making it super high and stuff like that. That's the least of what I'm talking about. I think if you're able to have some of these changes made, you can make it smaller, beautiful, and profitable to the point where the developer would be interested in coming into the space. So it'll just be more difficult, not impossible.
Yeah, my own feeling is, having been through it kind of start to finish, I understand the concern from a lot of residents, and there was certainly a big grassroots campaign. I don't think that it was all correct, but at the same time, confirmation of zoning is one variable on the million that developers have to face when they go in there and look at a project. And since that started, right, interest rates skyrocketed. It's challenging to develop, even if we had been able to modify the zone to make it clear. I think, you know, there's plan B, right? Plan B involves a lot of times developers, if they recognize that the community that they're trying to develop in is developer friendly or open, they're saying, you know, we'll work with you on zoning. We'll work with you on incentives. You know, let's walk you through the properties. Let's, you know, I think just be promoting ourselves as a village that has some areas that we've already designated as TIF. Those are all the things that we just have to promote. And again, hope to get developers that way. And yeah, a little bit more of a struggle, because I think with the zoning code, we were even thinking like 3 years.
Yeah, you could send it out.
We still might be able to do some of that.
Yeah.
And it would just be subject, which it was always going to be subject to the approval process anyway. But that was the one thing that was a little disappointing. No matter what, it was always
right, yeah.
So hopefully the community through some of them will understand that no matter what happened.
Yeah.
Tyler, in talking to any future firm that would be representing the village in the sale of properties, if you highlight our zoning has certain height restrictions at the moment, but we in this village, there are X number of properties that are five stories tall right now. Mm-hmm. So the village does exceed the limits based upon the individual project, this proposal, and the benefit for all people involved.
Yep.
I think you got to highlight that because if they're going to say, well, you can only go that high, that's where let's keep walking. I think we kind of have to highlight what already exists and showing that the village board does reconsider, you know, I mean, and it's been, there's multiple buildings like that in town.
No doubt. And that's kind of the folly of the whole thing, right? Because we do understand that those variances have been made and most likely would be made, and it's all part of an approval process. The unfortunate thing is we can't now go out and say, look, for better or worse, you can build X, Y, and Z on this spot. It just makes it easier for developers. It makes it easier for the brokers to market it. You know, you could say, look, you can even do 3D renderings. Walt was saying there's so much you can do that you're open to that you're now not able to. So I think you said it best. It makes it more difficult, but not impossible. We still can have those conversations. We can still point to other properties that are five stories. We just can't go out there and have on a pamphlet. You know,
I agree. But in a discussion.
Yeah, 100%.
Where this is background on the village and this is what the village has done and the board has approved.
Yep.
And it's not like it's only one property and it's never happened again. There is a historical basis of what you're willing.
What it all comes
to consider.
I totally agree. It just all comes down to me is having the widest pool of developers to choose from. So that can definitely happen, but because there's going to be people that are just going to say, no, I'm not going to even take it to the discussion points because we can't do X, Y, and Z, and these are the parameters of the development I like to do. Three-story on that square footage, they'll put it in a calculator and say pass. You know what I mean? So it is what it is, but it would be – the idea is you want the most developers possible to be invested in this place so that the village can pick and choose. Hey, this one gets River Forest. This one doesn't mind the setbacks. This one's aware of this. This one did something just down the street or, you know, in another comparable village that they did all these things and it looks beautiful and listen to the community. But whatever. I go back to what you said. It just makes it more difficult. But I agree. We can have all those discussions when we get to that stage, just sort of lessens the amount of people that we can have discussions with right out the gate. I mean, again, there are, you know better than, it's been a while since I've been doing financing for development, but I know back in family house, we would just look at numbers and you know automatically if it was going to fit or not. And if it, you wouldn't even take it to the discussion stage. But we are where we are. Absolutely. I don't know what, I always get confused a little bit on what can be discussed in open forum, but I think something like this can be discussed in open forum, right? Because it's not talking about the sale of property, just the hiring of some individuals. So we had meetings with three different very well-known, there's more, there's three that responded to the RFP that we thought were good to move on to the next level and have meetings with. We had meetings with all three. They went very well. Everyone was interested. I think as Tim and I did the meetings, as the meetings went on, you know, there was a lot of good feedback back and forth, them understanding what we were looking for, you know. We're not just looking to sell a property. It's the idea isn't just, hey, how much can you get for this property? Who cares what happens there? The idea is that we're very much, you know, we want to understand the development, everything before we sell the property. That's our main goal. The main goal is not to recoup, you know, anything that the village has spent on the property. So that was sort of for some of them, that kind of threw a bit of a curveball. You know, they're not used to working with that. I will say there was one that had a program around this exact thing, was very present, has an understanding of this neighborhood a very good understanding of this neighborhood, having been involved in different projects locally. I'll be quite frank. I mean, obviously it's their job. That's why you hire professionals. They knew way more than we did on exactly what's needed. And I don't want to speak out of turn on the village, but exactly what's needed to get something like this done. And I thought they were fantastic personally. And I think it's conversations afterwards. We've all sort of agreed that this is not only a good broker for this situation, but more than likely a great partner to have on a go forward basis that understands what the village is looking for. And I don't think we could have asked for anything more than that coming out of those meetings. It was extremely well done and an understanding of what the village is looking for.
Yeah. So I think Kyler's exactly right. It was very helpful conversations, all of them. I think that what Kyler described is, you know, rethinking of it just a, you know, church home broker, you know, percentage commission for selling the property for as much as can be done. We kind of tasked them to kind of recreate their proposal a little bit to not only the scope of work, but also kind of what the compensation would be, more as a advisor, really, to help us negotiate that and kind of help potentially usher through a plan development process if that's what it required. So they were still kind of reviewing those pieces of it, but I think we're happy with the response, and you know, it was telling the questions they were asking and everything. Okay, well, you know, we hadn't really thought of that. Yeah. We've got a listing here and we've had conversations with developers and things like that, and it's kind of old hat for some of them. So that was comforting to hear.
They really, I mean, again, so and this is by no means, you know, if usually a commission is based on the most you can get off the sale price, right? So, but that's not our priority, is the highest price. It's the best developer. So how do you make sure that they're working towards our goals, which is to have the best developer in there and not sacrificing their goals, which is to get paid, right? So one of them had a program around that already set up that was like, yeah, I mean, there's this, one of them does this all the time. The other ones were figuring it out and they were great. One of them does it all the time and has a team set around this. And they were, again, they met all and exceeded all expectations, I thought.
Yeah. And assuming everything's agreed to, what's the next step in the process? Does it need to be approved by the village board before they're officially kind of retained?
It would, yes. Yeah. So I think our hope would be to have the firm come and do a presentation with the EDC just to have the buy-in, because this was, you know, direction from this group to pursue that.
It better be good too, after I just hyped them up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if they mail it in the second one. so that it has that recommendation from the EDC, and that paired with, you know, some of the feedback that we'll get from these neighborhood conversations will help the board provide direction to the broker and staff for exactly what we're going to be comfortable with looking for. I think that parallel track will help everyone get on the same page, hopefully, and the broker can kind of push back and like, well, you know what, that's not realistic. because you know, they know what the marketplace with property tax challenges, with interest rates, construction costs, all the rest of it. It's easy to say we want something, but those that are trying to make money on it are going to have a different perspective. So I think we'd be looking for potentially at the next meeting to have that presentation from one of the vendors.
Again, those are some of the hurdles that they've been through before. So it was really comforting to know, like, these guys are going to be our shepherd through this process. And I think, and beyond, you know, you never know, but it seemed like a good fit.
Well, I like the approach to a few deep relationships. They know us. We kind of know them, ongoing relationship.
Yep.
They're not transactional, one and done, particularly if you're looking for the best developer versus the best price. They know it's a recurring kind of component to the relationship.
And then the process would be they come, give presentation, EDC says, our recommendation to the board tax, the board then has to approve it. And then
exactly right. Yep.
And they had pretty realistic timelines that they provided around all this, and when they thought, you know, they'd be able to bring something out. And they have, you know, the advantage and the reason that we, you know, we've sought a broker is, I don't know, the sign doesn't seem to be working. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on. I mean, that's not how you develop property. You know what I mean? In this day and age, I mean, maybe it was, whatever, forget it. But we do need a broker that's going to be able to handle these. And they have a laundry, they have a Rolodex of different developers that do just this stuff, who are used to dealing with the villages and their needs. So it's in my mind, it's great. It's, you know, definitely headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think, as we said, a significant milestone in kind of development and process. You touched, Matt, on kind of simultaneous process. How many kind of neighborhood meetings have there been? Anything you could share as far as feedback and kind of where that kind of goes?
Good question. So we haven't held any yet. We've got a couple on the books for September. We're hoping to have closer to like 7 to 10 to get feedback, hopefully to get to hear from 100 to 200 residents really throughout it. So I don't have any new feedback from it. There's been, you know, initial conversations with some of the potential hosts for these meetings. A new Mexican restaurant just opened up on the Forest Park side in the exit strategy space, and been very successful in its first week or so, which has led to a lot of parking on the River Forest side. That's going to be part of the conversation. That's a concern. That's what the fear was. One of the fears that came from the zoning conversation was that neighbor was going to be flooded with folks parking on the street all the time. So that's a downside of having an active, successful restaurant. Is that
that's a good sign. That's a good sign, actually.
But, oh, yeah. No, I agree 100%. But at least being prepared to manage the potential impacts of that with parking restrictions and everything else that's going to come up through the process. That's experience from someone who lives down close to Madison Street, seeing a successful business open up. So I think that those are the types of things that we're looking for to come from it.
I know it's fluid, but do you see kind of having all of those meetings before trying to get in front of the village board with the broker, or you think have a few, incorporate that feedback, or just TBD at this point?
I'd say
it'd be great to have a definitive, because I think that'd be just getting somebody signed up is such a big step for us.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of to be determined. I know the hope was to have them all kind of in quick succession so that we, you know, would have that feedback for staff and the village board to use. And then that would be helpful for the broker. So at the very least, I think there will be some of that preliminary feedback from the first couple meetings to help it along. But I'm not sure that necessarily would delay the process in bringing on a broker.
Is there something, maybe an email that you could send us on the EDC of something that we can use to reach out to individuals, maybe who, I have an idea, well, for the sake of this conversation, who we want to, you know, who we want to have hosting, how we approach it, you know, instead of using our own words, like, you know, if you have someone that lives on the 100 block of Ashland, or, you know, or wherever, 200, anyone who has a sign, no zoning in my front lawn, you know, maybe those are the people that we just want to have an earnest discussion with, right? If I'm, you will?
I will host a meeting.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Oh.
I live on the 100 block.
That's perfect. Yeah.
That was easy.
I don't know about that. I think that's great. That'd be perfect. But any, you know, and I think we want to have as many as possible. So if there's something, there's others I know that are involved, I'd be happy to reach out. But I'd more want the language maybe to come from
absolutely
the village.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. And thank you, Raj, for offering. Yeah, we had, you know, put it out generally just to make it, you know, offered up to everyone, yeah, instead of making it seem like we're targeting specific people.
Yeah, no.
But I reach out to a lot of folks that attend a lot of meetings with their concerns. So, I think a nice mix of that would be helpful. So that's great. Yeah, we'll share that with the commission for any help. And me and Jessica will follow up, Raj, on that.
Yes.
Thanks, Raj. That's great. I think communication, lack of assumptions, asking the questions. I mean, this is important.
I think the last time around this was rushed to this committee.
That is my sense.
The zoning change?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was rushed. And there's a narrative that says it was unanimously passed through this committee. I didn't vote because I was in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a unanimous. It didn't pass unanimously. I mean,
there was an absentee.
And it was tabled before that because I voiced my concern about it. So I just want that to be part of the record because there's this notion that, it was unanimously passed the committee. And it's like, it wasn't. I wasn't there.
Right. So, yeah, there was definitely the absentee then. Makes sense. I would argue that I didn't think it was rushed. We spent 2 years on this program working on that. So, sorry you feel it was rushed. And I know you weren't part of the commission the whole time, but we were working on this for at least 2 years. So I do think the concerns were very valid. The ones that that were based on, you know, more factual information, and I thought that regardless that it was important to have those discussions. And I think that's what community is all about, getting people out there and explaining what their thoughts are. And that's what makes a great community. And I think we live in one. But I would disagree that I think that the process was rushed through the EDC. Maybe it was rushed from the time it got to the EDC to the zoning because they took it and tried to put something together very quick. But our process, presenting it and the facts that went into it, actually took over 2 years. So. If that's rushed, I mean, look, Village is moving at a very slow pace, but yeah. But thank you for making the clarification on the of voting.
In trying to stay ahead of and very clearly communicating, if and when we hire the broker, I don't know if there is a forum for residents to be able to share their development desires directly with the broker or through some sort of forum, maybe not with them directly, but through the village or what it is, but to make sure that there is just clear communication all the way around and that very early on we're getting the resident input and feedback in some sort of formal way.
I think that's what these, to a degree, these meetings are about.
Making that connection.
Either face to face with somebody and share desires and or through some sort of
maybe
knowing our community.
And I think that breaks the lesson learned is from what just happened. The grassroots effort to squash any zoning change, I think, kind of expressed this was communicated to us, our voice is not heard.
Totally. That part I agreed with.
You know,
to a degree.
And so I think to learn a lesson from that, then Helen's saying these meetings are to specifically get to hear what your concerns are. But at the same time, our goal is to develop this. So we will take that, the voice and concern things we hear, and that will be directly related to not only brokers and developers, but that's taken into consideration for any activity and into ultimately even approvals, which are so much that is that process.
Right.
And Kyler, I will host as many meetings you want in my house.
Yeah.
Not
talk
yet.
To Matt.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Not me. Well, I don't watch it. I mean,
it's true, but you have to get buy-in. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And
I agree. I think communication was the reason that the zoning didn't pass. Because I think if properly communicated, and we did our best, this isn't, there's this different communicational chat. Yeah. I mean, but I think that's exactly right. And I think hosting the meetings is a great way to do it. I think, everyone's going to disagree.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of things. But I think not feeling heard is never a good thing for someone to feel.
Yeah.
Regardless.
I've seen things like this in the past, and part of it is just hard if you have something more abstract and conceptual versus an
actual
project.
Totally.
And that may be kind of part of the learning as well. Yeah. We kind of talk to brokers. I think there's got to be buy-in. We got to kind of get out, answer questions, but I think getting to a specific project, laying out the benefits and mm-hmm. kind of avoiding things that, you know, may just be, you know, interpreted into a project, I guess.
Yeah, people think they instantly think Oak Park. That's what I want, you know, I mean, that's, oh, we're going to have one of those giant condos?
Well, yeah, I think I totally agree. I think when you look back in hindsight and you say, what we were trying to achieve, right? The end goal is improve the community, right? Take like properties that are sort of sitting there vacant, doing nothing for anyone, and trying to make something positive happen. That's the goal, right? That was the goal. And this, what seemed like our first step was zoning change. And that, hearing zoning change as a step one seemed scary. And unless you went through it every, you know, for the two years,
yeah.
John Hounsfield explaining, you know, this is why zoning change could work. Yeah, I don't think we communicated that well. I agree. And you know, I was in those meetings and people were just, well, you're going to put up a 5-story building. I saw it.
Yeah.
You know, but so we definitely missed it. And
we didn't bring him along for the process.
Yeah, lessons learned there about, here, let's talk about the steps of what we need to do. And hiring a broker who works with developers and is in tune with the economic market conditions right now.
And
is going to give feedback that we can share. So everyone sort of understands, hey, you can't just say, well, I like Apple.
Yeah, okay.
Just as it's unrealistic that we're going to build a 10-story.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the shame of it is I think most people, well, speaking personally, I don't want to look like Oak Park. I don't want those big buildings. I've lived here my whole life, and I plan on living here the balance of it. So, you know, we want something that's in step with there's a reason we live here. We want something that's in step with what the community vibe is. So that's why we want this, so we don't have to just go, whatever. I've talked to Nazium about that. Nauseam. Anyways, I sort of lost track there, didn't I? We were going down the road of talking with the brokers. That should be, you know, next step. I love Raj. Thank you again for hosting a meeting. And I think there's some others we can reach out to as well. I do think the big misstep was communication. And that's when I left that meeting. Everyone was like, you know, we this wasn't, you know, the newsletter, yes, and things of that nature. And then there's this idea that there's some mischievousness around the whole thing, which is actually, quite frankly, more just missteps. You know what I mean? For lack of a better word. But it's only a mistake if you don't learn from it. And it seems like we did. So anyways. Lake and Lathrop.
So the most recent development at Lake and Lathrop Partners, also known as Sedgwick, they sued the village for not issuing a building permit to them. Back in May, Sedgwick opened up a permit application and went to apply for a new building permit as if nothing else had happened. We notified them that we would not be issuing a building permit for various reasons. They breached the redevelopment agreement and they have now sued us. So we have filed a motion to dismiss that case, and that hearing will come up late next month. Meanwhile, the foreclosure case has been moving very slowly between Wintrust, Beverly Bank, and Lake and Lathrop Partners. The village is considering some actions to try to motivate that process to move faster, because we're coming up on about a year since the permit was revoked and the last deadline was missed, and it's still looks like that, and there's still not much near-term hope for it improving. So I think we're getting a little tired of waiting and considering some more aggressive options.
It's good to hear.
that we talked about the fence, and if there's any way to better.
That is part of the conversation that we're considering. The easy way is it's not really like a life safety issue on it right now, so they can kind of like a lot of code enforcement issues, it's might not look good, but it might not meet the threshold of us actually enforcing it. But I think that some of the options the village are considering would hopefully bring about improvement there.
That's good.
And sorry to be so wishy-washy about it, but it's obviously pending.
Well, it was good news. There was a lot of interest in the property. I don't know if that was part of the meeting. I think it was, but when it did go out, there was a lot of people who were, and they weren't just, you know, kicking the tires just to see. There's real developers who had interest in that property. Now, again, because of the legal issues, it's, I think the, you know, it's going to be a Simms for, it's going to be a hassle for a while.
Technically, right now, Lake and Lights are partners still until the foreclosure case is resolved. If and then in that case, Wintrust / Beverly Bank would take ownership once that, if they judge the rule on that.
But then there's going to be a ton of liens that are still going to be on the property that'll need to be cleared before Wintrust is able to sell it. I would assume Wintrust has already written this all down to nothing, you know, so anything they get pushed, they'd have to, for, I'm sure, for the regulators. So, you know, essentially, they're going to have to negotiate with the subs and the generals and all the liens to satisfy those as much as they can. But it has to go through this process. And then, do they have an estimate? I mean, these things...
In terms of time?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
I've heard ranges from...
6 months to 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. That's probably what you're looking at. But again, once it is resolved, which is, you know, who knows, but once it is resolved, the relative good news is that there's interest by developers to buy the property off Beverly, which would satisfy, you would assume, the liens and everything else, so that, you know... You could have a new developer in there in a couple of years, you know, if not sooner. But who the fuck knows? Sorry.
No.
It's.
I agree.
No. Again, this is the reason we're doing everything that we're doing now, so that future developments are coming from a larger pool of developers. The main reason, but okay. Anyways.
In the spirit of communication, I'll just keep you in communication. I'm on the website. The last update was August 22nd, which is awesome. But I don't know if you want to put something in here related to the indefinite nature of when this will all be resolved, or legally you can't do that. And then sadly, we are coming up on a year. So when you go to this website, it says on September 15th, which is up to
Sure.
Updating that,
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if that page has
become very long with all these updates. We've tried it. The other years have been put on separate documents, but we're kind of due for that again. So
maybe we could put some balloons out there or something for the 1 year anniversary. You know, cutify the happy 1 year. Who knows? What a mess. But again, hopefully, on a go-forward basis, we have the developers in place that aren't going to have these similar issues. All right. It's all there, right? Lake and Lathrop? Yeah, I think, you know, from my vantage point, I see what you mean about there not being a health and safety issue, so they're not at that point where they're causing any violations. But at the same time, I mean, it looks not great. And I think even from, you know, we don't want to dig in our pockets anymore, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you're looking at it, people go by that intersection all the time. I would hope someone smarter than us maybe could come up with an idea of, we've pitched ideas, doing something to beautify it, or taking a negative and turning into a positive somehow. Their trade just happened. You know, like, how do we do that with this spot? I mean, I if anyone has any ideas, either now or otherwise, how we can take a bad situation and make it better, I think the village would be all yours.
Absolutely.
Maybe we used to do something on the Community Foundation at Oak Park River Forest where we'd give away a $50,000 grant to someone who had, what's the big idea? This is a great thing. We came up with some wonderful different projects that were involved. And the community had great ideas, right? I mean, the community was the one that came up with these, and they had to be involved with the 501c3 and things like that. But it was the kids were coming up with these ideas. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe instead of us thinking about it, we could ask the community what they would want from it. And some of them aren't going to be real. We're not going to put an ice rink there. I get it. But, like, I don't know, maybe there's some idea. That way we're listening to the community and we hear something back and something might be feasible with what we have to work with.
I mean, that could also be tied in with broker and could be digital. Like, our broker wants to hear from you. What are our ideas for the community? And it could be a digital survey that's a center.
Yep.
And that is then a communication.
Well, my thought is, if you look at the property that's fenced on Madison Street that the village owns, we control, I think creative projects like that totally would work there. You know, I think when you look at this situation, it's very messy. It's a messy construction.
Yeah.
Very much so. So it's not, you don't want to necessarily get access to it in any way, or it's very much tied up. I don't know that would.
There is an answer. Yeah.
I think the greatest thing that could happen is construction starts again.
Yeah.
So creative situations of how to expedite this, or creative ideas about how to expedite the processes. And you had mentioned something about, you know, what the village is thinking of taking action to expedite something. That's the most important thing.
Yep.
How much did we pay, the village paid to acquire all those sites?
That, I think, is that something that's part of executive session?
No, because the purchases would have been approved. So there was $1.9 million that was set aside when that TIF district expired in 2010. A lot of that money was spent to remediate the sites, but a portion of that was to help assemble and acquire those properties. I don't remember the specific purchase amounts for those, but somewhere less than 1.9.
You're talking Lake and Lathrop, right, Rush?
No, I'm talking about the Madison.
Oh, Madison.
Oh, well, I do know. And that is so, it actually comes out to be a little under $1.9 million between the three, between the LCFS and the two residential properties.
So pretty similar.
Yeah, okay. Coincidentally. Yeah.
Different purposes, but similar. Cool. Any other things for number six? Any other business? Cool. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.